Hey, Moto America fans, this is Paul Carruthers, and this is our weekly podcast, Off Track with Carruthers and Vice. I'm Paul Carruthers, the communications manager for Moto America, and this is like our 100-and-something episode of this, which I find hard to believe, but we haven't even missed a we haven't missed a week yet. So I'm going to introduce my co-host, Sean Vice, who's out in Ohio. I'm based in Southern California, where I'm about half an hour from the Moto America offices. So, Sean, how are you back there today?
Good. Hey, Paul. We are. I might get hit by a lightning bolt here, but I think we're more dependable than the Postal Service. I mean, no storm, rain, gloom, and night. We have a podcast every week, no matter what. We don't mess around. We're very dependable.
Well, yeah, and we've been COVID free.
Yep.
I think the distancing between you and me is like 2,000 miles, so maybe that helps. That's like the ultimate social distancing, so we can't spread the germs. But yeah, so no, it's been amazing. I think it's really cool that we've done this many of them. Honestly, when we started out, you know, obviously you're just thinking about starting out, and you're not thinking about farther than the next week down the road. And that's kind of how we're doing it anyway. We're thinking of the next week down the road, and before you know it, we've got 100-and-some weeks in our pocket. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great to be able to talk to all these guys. I mean, we've talked to everybody from, you know, legend of our sport from the past to, you know, current riders that have moved on. And it's been great. We've had a nice mix of all kinds of people. Well, of course, some of the team people like Stamboli last week was terrific. And, you know, that's kind of cool about how Stamboli relates to, you know, our guests this week. So kind of cool.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Might as well let the cat out of the bag. Our guest this week is Jason Aguilar, and Jason had some exciting news this week wherein he announced that yesterday that he's going to be racing a superbike next year in the Moto America series in the 2021. Oh, I keep saying next year, but it's actually now in the 2021 championship. And it's cool. You know, Jason's been with us from the very beginning. Looking back today, I'm like, my God, he must have been like 12 when he started. But he started riding for us in the Stock 600 class. And he did that in 2015 and 2016. And then in 2017, moved to Super Sport, where he's been ever since. The timing, I think, is perfect for him to make the move to Superbike. He's coming off his best Super Sport season to date. He had three podiums and finished fourth in the championship. So I think I think it's a really cool deal. Obviously the Superbike class is our premier class, and it's the one we push the hardest. And Jason's going to be supported this year by Riders Law, who's supported him here. I don't know, he can tell us, but I know the last few years anyway. And it's going to be a cell phone team. He's kind of using a Kyle Wyman model, and he's going to get some help from Attack Performance, which, as you tied in nicely, we had Stamboli on the show last week. So why don't we bring in Jason and have a little bit of a chat with him? Jason, you got to be excited.
Hey guys. Yeah. I'm, you know, super stoked to be racing Superbike, and I'm stoked to be on the podcast with you guys.
How excited are you versus to how scared you are?
Honestly, I'm not really scared at all. I'm excited about it. You know, it's a big step up, you know, never even really riding 1,000 before. But I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to the challenge. I'm not really scared at all, surprisingly.
Actually, Jason, you don't strike me as somebody that, I mean, you don't scare easily. Anytime I see you, seem to be pretty confident about what you're doing, whether it's on the track or, you know, managing your team or everything that you have going. You sure don't ever look like you're all that nervous. So you seem to be pretty calm. Would you say that's the case? Your entire demeanor is that way?
Well, you know, I'm usually so busy.
Yeah.
That I don't have, even if I wanted to be scared, I don't have time because, you know, between working a full-time job and then managing a race team and building the race bike and, you know, finding sponsors and driving the rig to all the rounds and booking travel and all that good stuff. You know, I usually don't have time, to think of much else. So, you know, maybe it's a good thing because it doesn't give you time to be scared.
You know, Jason, I want to ask you about, it's funny looking back at our Super Stock 600 class. And when we're looking at it, and on our social media, we've been kind of going through the 2017 year, which you won the championship that year in Super Stock 600. But it's funny to look at that because you were placed in top five in Super Sport. And, you know, I can't really remember the difference between the bikes, except for the Stock 600 bike had to be lower spec in some way. Can you refresh our memories as to how those bikes were different back then?
Yeah, so from what I recall, you know, the super sport bikes were allowed to have full data. I believe there's probably some internal engine changes that they were able to do that we weren't. Aside from full data, the super sport bikes were on slick tires, so they started using that 180 rear, and we were still on the DOT tires, so we were on the 200 rear tire. And aside from that, I don't think there was really too much that was different. You know, I mean, there's only so much you can kind of do to those bikes anyways within the rule spec. So aside from like data, the tires, and maybe some engine stuff, I'd say they're all pretty similar.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at Utah, and I mean, you did really well at Utah. You were in the top five, and it was kind of like, I had to look and say, oh, wait a minute. He was in Super Stock and you were among those super sport bikes. And that was, I'm pretty sure that was after, or maybe right on the cusp of when they changed that tire, because I remember it seemed to make such a difference in Garrett Gerloff's season, and kind of didn't, or had an effect on JD's season. Although he's always said that wasn't it at all. So it's interesting with you on DOTs. You know, you had some good results that year, of course, to win the championship in Stock 600, but certainly in Super Sport, you're right up with those guys. So that really shows your prowess on a 600. I mean, you've been a specialist on that middleweight bike for quite a long time.
Yeah. You know, I was on the 600 for a while, and I got really used to it. And 2017 was just a great year for me. You know, it's the first year running my own team, everything, trying to figure everything out on my own. And, you know, it was a ton of work, but we were able to put in really good results, and it was nice having some more local rounds to us as well. Cause you know, we had Sonoma, we had Utah and Laguna Seca. So those are all, you know, they might be, you know, 10 hours away, but it's like as local as we get. So it was super nice to have that. And yeah, you know, we were up there in some of the races with the Super Sport guys. I know when Beach and Gerloff crashed into each other, I had a chance to get a double podium, which would have been, you know, the win in Super Stock 600 and then also a podium in Super Sport.
That's right.
And I kind of backed off a little bit just to make sure I can get the win in Super Stock 600, no problem, because I was focused on the championship. But, you know, I thought my crew chief Poncho was going to kill me, because he, after the race, he was like, you could have got a double podium. But, yeah, we're just messing around with each other, but it was good. You know, it was a good year altogether.
So, Jason, you've obviously, as you just mentioned, you've got some experience in running your own team as well as being the rider. You know, from talking to Kyle Wyman quite often, would you agree that sometimes riding the bike's actually the easy part when you have a dual role like such that you have now?
Actually, yeah, I got to agree with that. You know, of course, riding and racing the bike is never an easy feat, but when you do it for so long, you get on the bike, it's just, you know, kind of secondhand nature, and it's just you out there trying to figure it out. And, you know, aside from that, everything else is complicated and, you know, complex, and there's a ton of different things. And I would definitely agree with, probably riding the bike to be one of the easiest parts of the whole team aspect.
Yeah, and like as you mentioned, it's something that you've been doing for a long time, and that part probably comes a little more natural than the business end of it. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, you know, not a lot of people know that, you know, some of our racers do have to have full-time jobs, and you're one of those racers that does that. Tell us a little bit about the job. At least you're fortunate in that your work is motorcycle related, so it's not like you're off you're not selling insurance during the week and then worrying about the motorcycles on the side, you can kind of maybe tie the things a little bit together. So tell us a little bit about what your job is full time.
Yeah, so I've been at FTECU or Flashtoon, you can also call it, for it's almost going to be 5 years now, actually. So it's been a very long time. But, you know, we do all the motorcycle electronic systems. You know, we flash the ECUs, build wiring harnesses. And, you know, I don't really have necessarily a job title. I'm kind of the jack of all trades there. You know, I'll do anything from, some computer programming stuff to designing to building wiring harnesses to flashing ECUs to customer support, phone calls, emails, orders, inventory, you name it. Just, you know, anything that kind of needs to be done at that time, you know, I could handle it after being there for so long. So it's great to be in the industry as well. I've met, you know, a ton of great people. I've met sponsors through it. I definitely got to say that I probably wouldn't be in the same position I'm in racing wise now if it weren't for this job.
So Jason, I have a specific question for you about Flashtoon, and you're going to help me with this. Maybe you'll even help Paul with this. I don't know, but here's what I need to know from you. Our technical director, James Morris, left, and we've got a new guy, and that guy, I believe, works with you, and I don't know how to pronounce that guy's first or last name to save my life, and I've heard about 15 different variations of it. So please tell us, how do you pronounce that guy's name?
Are you talking about Teague?
Yes, I am. Is it, so it's Teague? What's the last name? How do you pronounce that?
I believe it's just Teague Dane.
So I'm trying too hard is what you're saying.
Yeah, it seems harder than it really is.
Yeah, so, it's exactly how it sounds. Although I don't believe, you know, Teague was part of FTECU Flashtoon for a while, but I believe that they haven't been partnered since, 2016. Okay. I want to say 2015, 2016.
Okay.
So no wonder you didn't know what I was talking about, because I wasn't really sure, but I'm glad
nobody knows whatever you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being perceptive, Jason. Realizing it was Teague Dane's name that I needed to figure out, because I'm probably going to be talking to him. I used to ask James about 30 questions every day of, you know, not a technical nature. I was trying to figure something out, and he would try to explain it to me in layperson's terms. So now I'll have Teague Dane do that for me. But you, speaking of technical aptitude, I mean, obviously you have the understanding Flashtoon and electronics on a bike. That's pretty heady stuff. How did you develop that knowledge over these years?
You know, just time. I just put time into it and just work to figure it out. You know, I started with the company not knowing anything. Yeah, I literally did not know a thing about reading data or flashing an ECU or computer programming or anything. And I'm just kind of the guy where I like to watch someone do it, and then I can do it myself and just kind of figure it out from there. So that's kind of always how I've learned everything, just kind of on the fly, messing around with stuff. That's how I learned everything at Flashtoon. That's how I kind of learned some of the programming. It's how I learned how to view my own data and understand it and all that stuff.
So because of your knowledge for that, there's moving up to Superbike, you got to know electronics, or at least somebody on your team has to know. And even to have a conversation with Richard Stamboli, you sort of have to know some of that too, which is why he doesn't really have too many conversations with me other than me grunting at him a couple times or something, but I don't have the technical aptitude. But because you know that stuff, did that influence you in any way to say, yeah, I can make this step up to Superbike. I can understand that stuff. Not only how to ride it, but understanding the data. Did that influence you?
I don't know. I wouldn't say it really influenced me too much. You know, I'm going to have a ton of help from Richard Stamboli with the whole Magneti Morelli system, which is going to be amazing. He's going to help me a ton with, you know, the electronics, the data and everything. So just that support alone is, you know, that's priceless. You know, it's hard to come by someone so willing to be able to just share everything that they have with you, no problem. You know, so that's a huge step for us. He showed me some of the, you know, some of the stuff in the software as well that, you know, I looked at, and you know, it didn't look too bad. I was actually looking at some of it and saying, this looks a little simpler than some of our FlashTune stuff, which is kind of funny. But, you know, I wouldn't say it really influenced my decision too much. I was going to go superbike racing no matter what. It's just, it helps a little bit now because I can understand it and do more of it myself if I have to, rather than have to try to have someone else learn it.
Okay, Jason. Riding, you've already mentioned that this is going to be basically your first time racing a big bike, 1,000 compared to the 600s that you've spent most of your career on. What part of it do you think, without really knowing because you haven't done it, but what part of it do you think is going to be the most difficult? Is it the extra power? Is it the extra weight? Is it the electronics? I mean, what, or the competition, obviously, but what part of it seems the most difficult to you, you know, at least now looking at it?
I think it's just going to be trying to gel with the bike a little bit better and just getting used to the feel of everything, where everything is, and probably just the additional weight of the bike, you know, in you know, fast S's like at Coda, or, you know, down the hill maybe at Road Atlanta, just things like that, you know, because now everything's going to be different. You know, I've had brake markers and turn-in points and all this stuff accumulated through the years of being on a 600 at certain tracks. And now all of a sudden I'm on a different bike and everything's going to change. So it's just going to be getting used to the bike is the main part. You know, the competition, I would say, is definitely a little bit greater. It helps with Cameron Beaubier going to Moto2 because he was you know, unstoppable the past few years. But, you know, I like I said, I just think it's going to be gelling with the bike.
Now, you're a pretty small guy. I mean, you know, you're obviously very fit. You mountain bike a lot, but you're light. Are you going to have to change the way you go about training in the off season? And also, is it going to take any kind of a different riding style than what you're used to? Or do you not know that yet?
You know, I don't really know that yet. There's some stuff training wise that I could do differently, that I'm going to try to kind of look into and expand on a little bit. I got a good trainer in, my buddy named Ethan. He's helping me out quite a bit, and he's helped out, you know, guys before like Cam Peterson last year and, Michael Gilbert as well, Hunter Dunham. So he knows what he's doing. He comes from a background of all the sports stuff. So he's got a good plan for me. And as long as, you know, I could find the time to get it done between the normal job and building the bike and everything, you know, I think I'll be just fine.
Jason, as much as you're willing to, can you give us kind of a timeline leading into the season? I mean, obviously you haven't got the bike yet, or I don't think you do. So getting the bike, sitting on the bike, getting it sort of everything fit to you, probably going to test it at some point, ride it a little bit. And then, you know, we're going to have a preseason test, the first round and all that. Can you kind of walk us through what you've got ahead of you from now until the beginning of our season?
Well, I have a ton of stuff ahead of me. I wish I can give you a detailed schedule, cause I would like to have one myself, but, you know, we're just, we just got to take it day by day. We got to build the bike. We got to get the parts in. We got to get it all, you know, working well together, and then hopefully get out to get riding. You know, we're not actually going to take a, you know, generally when you build the race bike, you take a stock bike and take all the stock stuff off, and then you just put the race stuff on it, turn it into whatever you need. Boom, you got a race bike. With a super bike, it's a lot different because the only stock parts that you're going to retain from a stock bike is the mainframe, the motor, the airbox, and the throttle bodies. That's about it. Aside from that, everything else is going to be aftermarket. Mm-hmm. So with that being the case, we didn't really see too much of a need to get a completely stock bike. So we're just going to build everything up from parts, you know, get crate motors, get frames, airbox, throttle bodies. And then aside from that, you know, I've got to get the swing arms coming, fork, shocks, you know, custom gas tanks. You know, the list is never ending on a super bike.
Is the bike being built at Attack Performance, number one? And number two, are you going to actually get your hands on one of those unbelievable Attack Performance swing arms for your bike? Or what are you using for a swing arm? Give us the scoop on that.
So the bike is being built by myself and Poncho, my crew chief Poncho at his shop. So we're doing all that stuff. Richard's supplying us with, you know, a lot of parts that we will need and a lot of, you know, advice and all the technical support and everything. So the support that he's given us is epic, for everything, but myself and Poncho, we're building the bikes ourselves in his shop. And then swing arm wise, I'm actually just going to run a Suter swing arm, which is the same swing arm that the Westby guys run.
Yeah. And it's funny, 'cause that's a piece. I know Matthew's talked about that swing arm that Attack uses and how he'd kind of like to get his hands on that. But you know, the Suter is what Westby uses too. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, you riders seem to, you just want more and more. And I understand that you want the best to give you the best advantage you can out there on the track. So I get that, but it seems to be with regard to Attack, that swing arm that Richard has is something he seems to want to keep to himself. And I guess I don't blame him. Do you?
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily just him wanting to keep the swing arm to himself. I mean, you also got to understand that there's, you know, a ton of hours of machining work and, you know, big pieces of billet that they have to get. And there's, you know, there's a big shortage when it comes to all those sorts of materials at this time. You know, they have enough swing arms for themselves, but when it comes to getting quite a bit more made, it's not always, you know, it's not entirely feasible. So their swing arm is very, very nice and very trick. It's kind of unobtainium, I would say, but you know, I don't see why you can't make the Suter arm, you know, work just the same.
Right. Now, when we talked the other day, Jason, you did mention that Kyle Wyman's been some help to you. If nothing else, a little bit of inspiration from somebody in the same paddock that's been doing the same thing for quite a while and also came from Supersport to run in his own Superbike team. And you also mentioned that Westby, who you just talked about, has also been very helpful. So talk a little bit about that and those guys' involvement and if they've been giving you a little bit of a push or kicking you in the direction of Superbike, or just knowing that they do it makes you feel like you can do it.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking with Kyle Wyman for a while now, and, you know, I presented him with, you know, the idea of going Superbike. I was talking with him about it, you know, everything about his program, how that works, just to get a better idea of, you know, what it looks like I'd be facing. And I did the same exact thing with Chuck Giacchetto from Westby. So, you know, Kyle Wyman's been great. You know, anything I need, anytime I ever got a question or anything, you know, he's more than willing to answer it, give me the truth on anything. He might even have some parts trickling down from him that I'll get as well. So that'll help my program out a little bit. And then with Chuck Giacchetto and the Westby guys, you know, they've been super helpful as well. Just like, you know, Richard Sanboy at Attack, just, you know, he's on an R1 and they're more than willing to share any information they have with me. You know, any special parts they have, they're more than willing to get me. Any type of deals that they might get on something, they're more than willing to pass that along to me. And, you know, when it comes to Superbike, there's so many aspects that I feel like most people probably wouldn't ever notice. There's just so many different things that go into building a bike and, you know, running a successful program. And it's just so much more complicated than Super Sport or any of those other classes could be. So those guys have been really, really helpful in just helping me figure everything out. I mean, it's definitely not easy for me, but I definitely think I've had an easier time than most people would stepping up to Superbike just because of the support that I've had.
You know, Jason, here's another interesting little side thing regarding, let me just start out by saying when I was younger, I used to play a little bit of tennis, not a ton, and I'm not very good at it, but I used to watch a lot of it on TV, and I always loved Bjorn Borg for, he used a wooden racket when, well after a lot of guys did, but I'm digressing. The other part I want to say is there were two other guys that were older at the time when I was a kid, but I used to love to watch him play, and it was Pancho Segura and Pancho Gonzalez. And because of the fact that it's you and your guy's name is Pancho Rangel, I love Pancho, and I wave to him all the time. I've actually never gone up and talked to him face to face, but he just seems like such a kindly, gentle soul. He seems to be a calming influence. He is even for me. Sometimes when I'm freaking out and walking around the paddock, I see him over there and I wave to him, and there's a calming influence for me. Is he a calm guy? And is he, what does his mentorship mean to you? And how did you get to know Pancho in the beginning?
Yeah. So Pancho is a calm guy. You know, he's really, what I like about him is he's really straightforward, and he'll tell it to you how it is, no matter, you know, whether it's going to hurt your feelings or not. And sometimes that's the best way to tackle things. You know, you gotta be told the truth, no matter, you know, how it's going to affect you. So, but Pancho's been a great guy. You know, he's been my crew chief since 2017. You know, I've had him in 17, 19 and 20. So this is going to be his fourth year with me. And, you know, I actually came to know him by a reference. So in 2017, when we were racing the Super Stock 600 Championship, you know, partway through the year, my crew chief at the time switched to go to M4 Suzuki. So that kind of left us in a bind, you know, with no one to really turn to, you know, still kind of being in the championship hunt. And, you know, I was referenced to go talk with Pancho. So, you know, I chatted with him about it. And, you know, in 2017, he told me, you know, he would come on board and he would help out. But he said, you know, only if we're going to go win the championship. And I said, you know, and I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, obviously I want to win the championship, but I was like, okay, yeah, you know, like we're going to try, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, the first round that I had with Pancho, we did the double. I won both races at Utah. And then I won the race after at Laguna Seca. So I went from never winning a Moto America race to, as soon as I got Pancho, I won three races in a row. And it definitely wasn't by chance. You know, there's some really good stuff we were doing together. And, you know, ever since then, we just have a great relationship. I mean, his shop is literally less than 10 minutes from my house, and I never even knew it was right there. You know, that's not something you find. You know, you find your crew chief randomly with a shop that's only 10 minutes from your house, and, you know, it's a world-class guy. So, it's just, you know, it's been amazing. I go over there pretty much every day after work. We, you know, shoot the shit, work on bikes, do whatever we got to do. And, you know, it's been an awesome relationship.
And Sean, what's kind of interesting is a friend of mine, Josh Merrill, is going to be helping.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be helping Jason this year. He's never actually done it before, as far as I know, but he's a pretty smart guy. Jason, just to let you know, excuse me, he's coming to my house on Sunday to do some electrical work in the bathroom that I can figure out. But by me not figuring out, that's, you know, the monkey next door couldn't figure it out. I'm not going to be able to figure it out. So he's coming on Sunday to try to figure out my electrical problem. And if he can do so, then I would go ahead and use him. But if he can't, I'd maybe think twice.
All right. Well, you let me know how he does then. Give me a full report.
Or if he electrocutes himself, then you won't have to make the decision. But yeah, I'll keep you on. I'll keep you up to date on that.
All right, that sounds good.
Hey, Jason, let's talk a little bit about your sponsor, Riders Law Racing. Who Riders Law has been with you for several years, and you were, if not the first, you were one of the first to get support from them in the beginning. So you obviously know those guys pretty well. What, talk about that relationship a little bit for us?
Yeah, so Riders Law has been with me since the 2017 season. You know, they're with me 17 and then 19, 20. They've been with me every year that I've always ran my own team. And, you know, those guys over there are awesome. You know, I was definitely, you know, the first guy to kind of be with them in 17. And then, you know, they expanded in 18 and then they came back to me for 19 and 20. And then obviously helping me out this year. And, you know, just all the guys there, you know, the main guys, Cy and Rob there, you know, I've known them ever since the 17 season. I have a great relationship with them and they're big racing fans. You know, it obviously helps promote their business. But they're big racing fans. They enjoy it. They enjoy everything about it. And we just have a great relationship that I know anything I ever need, they're always going to be there for me. So it's really nice. It's really nice to have that as a title sponsor all the time, just to know that, you know, anything you need, they're always going to be there for you. And with the step up to Superbike, you know, same thing. Stepping up to Superbike, they're like, okay, you know, what do we have to do? Let's get it done.
All right, guys, I'm going to make a decision here that we're going to let Jason go back to work so he doesn't get fired. Because if he gets fired, then he won't have any backup plan. But Jason, I want to congratulate you on being able to put this together. I've been around racing a long time, and I know this isn't an easy thing to do, and you've been able to pull it off. And I'm confident that you guys, with a busy off season, will get everything sorted out the way you need it. And I think you'll surprise a lot of people with your results. There's no doubt that you know how to ride a motorcycle really well. And I think your style and the way you go about things will translate well to Superbike racing. So I wish you the best with that. And I know Sean's got a little sales job here, and then we'll cut you loose.
Yes. So just for the fans that are listening, our Moto America fans who are the best in the world and want to come and see our races this year, I just want to point out that if you go onto our website, motoamerica.com, and go to the schedule, there are links there where you can click on our to buy tickets for our rounds. We've got 10 rounds this year, and we just announced that our King of the Baggers schedule, and we're doing a 5-round series this year, going to a lot of all of our tracks are great, but a lot of the major tracks that we have, I mean, obviously Laguna Seca will be going back there, but Road America, and we'll get to see these bikes kind of in a different environment. We were pretty amazed to see them going down through the Corkscrew, but now we're going to see what they can do on some of these other tracks. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, some of it, the dynamic might change a little bit because, you know, they're going for a little bit of longevity, and it'll be interesting to see what technically they have to do to kind of do a 5-race season rather than a 1-race invitational. But that's part of this year, and it was a big hit. So if you guys want to see that and certainly see Jason Aguilar and the Hono Superbike riders out on the track, as well as our other classes, then the way to get going on that is to go on our website, look at our schedule, and it's real easy to click on the tickets links and buy them. So we hope to see you at the rounds. Race is coming up this year, and we're definitely going to see Jason. Thanks so much for being on with us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
I'm thinking we might get Jason on a bagger before the year's over.
Yes.
He could actually get inside one of the bags and someone else could ride it.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good idea. If I tipped over, I would never get that thing up.
No. All right, guys, you guys have a good day, and we'll talk again soon.
Great.
Thank you.